The ACLU of Wisconsin has released new information in its class action lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee and the city's police and fire commission. At the heart of the suit are allegations of widespread use of stop and frisk measures and racial profiling. The lawsuit was filed last year, but a report looking at a time period between 2010 and 2017 found that the Milwaukee police failed to show, quote, reasonable suspicion, end quote, in thousands of traffic and pedestrian stops. Karen Rotker is the race, poverty, and civil liberties attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. Karen, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, although I got to say that last segment made me hungry, too.
Well, we've got Korean food coming up soon, too, so stick around. We'll get really hungry for dinner.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Now, give us a brief overview, Karen, of the class action lawsuit. What are you contending that is going on in Milwaukee?
So we're contending two distinct but related violations. First of all, we're contending that the Milwaukee Police Department has basically a stop and frisk policy that involves stopping many, many, many thousands of people in the city without reasonable suspicion they've done something wrong, basically stopping innocent people without you know, the legally required justification. And then separately, although obviously these things are related, we're also our case also involves allegations of racial profiling, so that Black and Latino people are far more likely to be stopped than white people throughout the city, including in predominantly white residential neighborhoods.
And can you talk about some of the individuals who are involved as plaintiffs in this suit?
Sure. There are nine individual named plaintiffs, and they range from a young man who was 11 at the time he was first stopped by the Milwaukee Police Department, walking to a friend's house for a play date, ended up being pushed against a police car and frisked, and then his backpack was searched, to a 60-something-year-old military veteran who was stopped just driving home from someone else's house on the north side of Milwaukee. All he was doing was driving. There was no violation. He wasn't ticketed. He was just stopped for no good reason. And, you know, that's sort of the age range of people. But one of the things about this case and one of the things about our nine named plaintiffs is that they reflect stories we have heard over and over and over again for many years, which is people just trying to go about their business, particularly people of color, whether they're walking or driving in Milwaukee, who get stopped and questioned by the police when they haven't done anything wrong.
This lawsuit was brought about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I think. Where is it in the court now?
So what? There is a trial date set for May. So part of the trial process is that you develop what are called expert reports. And we got a lot of data primarily from the Milwaukee Police Department. We then had experts. We had actually three separate experts look at the information. We got two more on data and then one sort of more on policy issues. And they are the ones who did the analyses and came out with some of the numbers that we're talking about here. For example, the records of more than 350,000 stops that were conducted between 2010 and 2017 failed to show that the Milwaukee police had reasonable suspicion of a criminal activity or traffic or vehicle violation, which is what the Constitution requires. So that's one part of it. It also showed that Black and Latino people, as I said, are more likely than white people to be subjected to traffic stops across Milwaukee, even in police districts that are not high crime neighborhoods and that have predominantly white residential populations.
Right. Former Police Chief Flynn had said part of the difference in racial statistics might be that they were focusing, the police department, were focusing their efforts in high crime areas, and high crime areas are often areas with higher minority populations. Is that part of the story?
Well, it is absolutely true that there is a much higher police presence in Black and Latino neighborhoods, but that doesn't explain why there would be the significant racial disparity in stops in white neighborhoods, and which are not high crime neighborhoods. So if it was just that they were stopping people in high crime neighborhoods, you wouldn't expect to see those number of stops in those kinds of disparities in the non-high crime neighborhoods. And that's one example of what was showing up in the analysis.
You mentioned that one of the three experts focused on policy, not so much just the statistics. What did they have to say?
Well, they were talking a lot. I mean, it's a fairly lengthy report, but they looked, for example, at the Milwaukee Police Department policies, one of which describes how you get to what's called reasonable suspicion. And he found it was so vague. For example, if someone is in a neighborhood where they don't belong, or it's the wrong hour of the day or night, I'm paraphrasing some of these factors, but that these factors were so vague that it could lead to these kinds of unconstitutional stops, stopping someone who hasn't done something wrong. You don't have to have probable cause, which is the higher level you hear about, to stop someone, but you do have to have a reasonable suspicion that someone is actually violating the law. Someone who's just walking down the street or in a particular neighborhood but not actually doing anything, that's not good enough, and a hunch is not reasonable suspicion. And so the policy expert looked at some of that and raised a lot of concerns about the nature of those policies. And also, several of the experts talked about the lack of adequate or meaningful supervision of officers as they were conducting these many, many, many thousands of stops, hundreds of thousands of stops over these years.
We're talking to Karen Rotker right now. She's the Race, Poverty, and Civil Liberties Attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. She's with us to talk about a lawsuit the ACLU filed against the city of Milwaukee over the Milwaukee Police Department's alleged use of racial profiling and suspicionless stops. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this issue? Have you experienced this in Milwaukee? Have you worked in law enforcement yourself? What do you think of the policies in the city, the controversy over them? What kind of changes would you like to see, if any? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We continue our conversation now with Karen Rotker about the ACLU of Wisconsin's lawsuit against Milwaukee, alleging discrimination against minority members by the police department in the form of pedestrian and traffic stops. She's the Race, Poverty, and Civil Liberties Senior Attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have concerns about the potential of racial profiling by police in Milwaukee or in your community, wherever you are? What do you think about stop and frisk policies, formally that, or things that look like it? Have you experienced racial profiling by law enforcement in your life? Do you work in law enforcement? What's your take on all of this? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Karen, looking around the country for a moment, we've heard that the New York Police Department agreed to curb its use of its stop and frisk policy. That was, I think, last year after lawsuits against the department. Do you see that as being maybe something that could influence Milwaukee?
Well, we certainly hope so. It was actually a couple of years ago in New York. That's sort of the most quote-unquote famous stop and frisk program. And what's really interesting about it is when they stopped that massive stop and frisk program, crime rates in New York have continued to decline. So there was a lot of fear and a lot of noise made when they were considering stopping it that somehow it was going to cause an explosion of crime rates, and that's not what happened. What we really need, and here's the issue, that by stopping this many innocent people, by profiling people, what it does is it alienates people in the community from the police department and undermines, you know, trust between the community and the police. Whereas if you're stopping that kind of program and actually doing community policing, working closely with the community as opposed to just going into the community and stopping all these people, that's how you start to develop trust. And I think that's what the example of New York shows us.
And again, former police chief Ed Flynn, he recently retired, he had said after this initial lawsuit, we don't have a stop and frisk policy in Milwaukee. We can't really call it that. Is that a distinction worth making?
You don't have to call it a stop and frisk policy when there are tens and I believe hundreds of thousands of stops every year, most years, routine stops, and as our record, as our reports show, records of 350,000 of those stops don't show that a person was violating any law. That's a stop policy, and there is routine frisking of people as well. That's a frisk policy. The MPD does not actually keep data about frisks, but again, we've heard over and over again about people being frisked without the level of cause to believe that they're actually armed or dangerous, like the 11-year-old I mentioned on his way to a play date at the beginning of this segment.
So what kind of redress are you looking for in this lawsuit? What kind of changes are you hoping to see from the police department?
Well, we would like to see this stop and frisk program, or whatever it's called, ended, and for the police department to start working closely with communities, doing real community policing. And it's not just us. It, you know, part of why we release these reports publicly is, in fact, there is a public conversation going on right now about the future of the Milwaukee Police Department and the nature of community policing. And part of the impetus for that was a report released by the United States, or a draft report, U.S. Department of Justice COPS program last fall, that actually confirmed the same thing about lack of trust and the collateral consequences of stop and frisk and the need to go back and emphasize community policing. So, you know, if there's a way, we are also talking to the city, if there's a way to resolve it that way, that would be great. And and if there's not, then, you know, for a court to order the kinds of remedies we're seeking. But this routine stopping people who are doing nothing wrong, and particularly Black and Latino people, that's just wrong, and that needs to end. And there are ways to do that and still keep communities safe.
I want to take a quick call. Daniel is with us in Two Rivers. Daniel, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Sorry. My question is that, you know, I understand exactly what we're talking about, but one thing that I'm a little concerned about is that if you remove the rights of police officers to stop whoever they want, to me that's going to lead down the path of, like, you know, we have all these school shootings. If a police officer is actually now more afraid to stop someone.
Gotcha. Daniel, we're just short on time. Karen, briefly, will police be reluctant to stop people who do pose some form of threat if these changes come in?
No, I don't think so. I think if they can articulate a reasonable suspicion that they think someone is dangerous or is doing something wrong, we're not saying that they shouldn't be stopping people in that situation. We're talking about people who aren't doing things wrong. Those are different things, and that they shouldn't just be targeting people of color as well for these stops.
Thanks for that call. And Karen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me, and have a great weekend.
You too. That's Karen Rotker, Race, Poverty, and Civil Liberties Senior Attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. She joined us today to talk about new information the group released in its ongoing lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee and the Police and Fire Commission there over the alleged use of racial profiling and stop and frisk procedures.